Simon Reish Nun Gimel Seif Aleph is about the Isser of Shehiyah, which is leaving food on the fire when Shabbos starts. Why is there an Isser of Shehiyah? Why can't you leave food on the fire when Shabbos starts? So, this seems to be strange at first. I mean, not to us, because we've learned a lot, but at first it seems to be strange because you're allowed to let Malacha happen by itself on Shabbos. Right, it's no problem leaving your lights on and leaving your fan on, your air conditioner, etc. And that's half of the question the Gemara asks in the first paragraph of the Shabbos on Daf Yud Ches. The Gemara says, if we hold that Einan Mitzuval Shvisas Kelov the Shabbos, that there's no Isser of Shvisas Kelov, your utensils are allowed to work on Shabbos as long as you did everything before Shabbos, then what's the problem with Shehiyah? And the Gemara answers, it's interesting, this answer is not found, I don't think it's, you know, not found directly at least, in the Perek of El Shehiyah, but in the first Perek of Yechasim Beis, the Gemara says, Gzeira Shemiyachata B'Gecholim. Okay, it's a Gzeira because you might stoke the coals. Okay, this Gzeira at first seems a little strange to us because we're not used to the Metzias of the Gemara, but anyone who was here last, what does stoke the coals mean? Anyone who's ever done barbecues or fireplace, etc., right, you have to, if you want the fire to grow and to last longer and to be hot, you poke around a little and it makes it burn longer. Someone who knows more about barbecuing and or physics than I do can explain why it works. That's why if you ever have a house with a fireplace, there's this poker, this big metal thing that looks like a weapon that in any stories I've heard about people using a poker have been chasing away intruders, or a famous Indian with Wittgenstein, which is not for now. But the original use of a poker is to poke the fireplace. And that's all over Tanakh. It talks about this all over Shas. Not only in ancient times of Tanakh and Shas, but if you, anyone who was here for your day last year remembers the Ramah says that it's okay if the Goyim could, the Goyish housekeepers cook in our house, because every time a Jewish family member passes by, he soaks the coal a little and raises the fire, because it's just something people did all the time, and therefore, of course, it's all in the Bishul Yisrael. And having nothing to do with our modern-day Metzias. But we see that already, through the time of the Ramah, it was a very common thing that people would stoke the fire, they would have to stoke the coals in order to keep the flame going and to make sure that the fireplace stayed hot, or the oven, or stove, or whatever it is, stayed hot. That's Shema Yichat B'Yicholim, and that's why it's usher to leave your food cooking when Shabbos starts, because maybe the fire will die down, and it won't be enough to cook your food, and you will forget, and you'll stoke the coals in order to, like you do all week long, in order to keep the flame going to make sure it cooks, and then you'll be Mechal Shabbos. It has nothing to do with the Avmalach of Bishol. It's really Gzeira unto the Avmalach of Havara, of lighting fires on Shabbos. Everyone learns it together with Bishul because it has to do with cooking. But technically, it has Shehiyah and maybe Chazara. We'll see, Chakira is not because there's an Amalach of Bishul. Even if there would be no Amalach of Bishul, it's Asher because it's Gzeira, the Amalach of Havara of raising a flame on Shabbos. It's interesting, I didn't put this on the Koros, but Rav Avadya in the Yabia Omer, if anyone wants to write down the Makor, it's Chilek Vav, Simon Lamed Beis, Os Gimel. He quotes from some poskim who I'm not familiar with, that there are some posts who wanted to say the whole Gzeir of Shehiyah doesn't apply to Bizman HaZeh. Which makes a lot of sense, because in their days, they had coals, they lit things, they went on fire, and they died down, you had to poke them, it was like barbecues. So maybe it would apply nowadays if we had a coal barbecue, but we don't usually cook on those things at home. Nowadays, we have gas stoves and electric stoves, and what's the Indian of Shemei Chata V'Gecholim? You want it, however temperature you want it, you turn it. You want a high flame, you turn it to high. You want a medium flame, you turn it to medium. And you know what? It stays exactly as you put it without any help. You never need a poker. You never need to adjust it. We have good appliances that don't need any intervention. When we normally cook, we don't do anything. We just turn it on. We say 2 hours, it'll be ready. And we ignore it. And it works just fine. Because our modern day cooking equipment has no chash of Shemi Chata B'Gecholim. So there is such a sheet like that, the whole Gzeira shouldn't apply nowadays. There's a lot of logic for that sheetah. However, Rav Avadya says that's not our minhag, that's not the opinion of the majority of the poskim. The opinion of the majority of the poskim is that even if nowadays the Metzias is different from the time of the Gemara, since theoretically you could turn up the flame, you could adjust the flame on our stoves and ovens, right? You could always turn the dial or press the buttons to make it higher, even though the Metzias is very different, since theoretically the idea could apply to us, someone might say, well, if I'm cooking well enough, I have to turn up the flame, even though it's much less likely nowadays. The Gzeira, once the Gzeira was enacted, it applies even nowadays, and that's obviously the halacha l'maisa.
Is chita b'chalim asur midaraisa?
Yes, chita b'chalim is asur midaraisa, because the avlach of Havara, we know it's asur midaraisa. I mean, first of all, they wouldn't have made the Gzeira if it wasn't asur midaraisa, but if you look all over, not all over, but if you look in the Maseches Krisos, there's a significant long sugyas in Maseches Krisos about exactly how many chatuses you bring in different situations of chita b'chalim. But the ikaron, you bring a chatas. Right? The whole question is somebody doing two chatases, etc. Okay, but it's clearly an issur d'oraisa. Okay, now we're ready. That's by way of introduction. We're ready to get into the halachos. The the Gemara says there are basically the easiest way to structure. These halachos are that in our se'if, there are six cases where shehi is mutter, and again, depends how you count them, and if you add from other parts of Shulchan Aruch, you can add another one or two. There are some cases when she is mutter, because the chashash doesn't apply. The two most classic cases are found in the Gemara was here someplace. Okay, the Gemara in the first Perek says that if it's raw, it's mutter. If it's cooked, it's mutter. If it's in between, it's aser. The Gzeir Shehiya only applies to something in between. So we have to figure out what are these two heterim, the heter of if it's cooked and the heter of if it is not cooked. So let's start with this by reading the Shulchan Aruch. Open the Mechaber, says the Mechaber. Kira. What is a kira? First of all, don't imagine that they use the word kira and tanur. Kupach, luckily, we don't have anything nowadays called a kupach, so it won't confuse us. Kira and tanur have nothing to do with what we call kirayim and what we call tanur. All these kalim were similar in that they were just big klicheres, and you made a fire inside them, and you put your pot of food either inside them or on top of them. The difference is a kira is a rectangle. It's just a rectangular receptacle that you can put two pots in. A kupach is just like one pot. It's just like a little bigger than one pot. You put a fire in it and you can either put one pot in it or put one pot on it, and a tanner was rectangular, and that way it kept the heat in warm, was much hotter than these other things. Okay, someone who knows physics will explain why the chart was triangular. Someone who knows physics will explain why the triangular one is so much hotter. So he says, kira shu also kidira. It's just like a big cheres pot. B'shosin al pi kidira l'malon, you could put a kidira on top of it. The Yeshba Makom Shvisa Shtei Kederos, and there's enough room for two Kederos, so it's like a rectangle. Im Huska Begefes, if you fuel it with Gefes, which is Psolashel Zaysim, the leftover of the olives if you squeeze out the oil, Obe Eitzim with wood. Aser Lite, those are things that if you burn them turn into coals, and then you can stoke the coals. Aser Lite on the top Shom Yot Yom, you're not allowed to put food on it on Friday, La Shol Soleh, to leave it alive, to leave it Aleha on Shabbos. Ella in Cain, Nisbasha called Sarkub and Samik for Ralo, Jalekalamech Shemechate, lest there's two cases. Either it's already fully cooked, and not only that, but stomach literally means, like anyone know what Simu Kimar?
Raisins.
Raisins. What's the difference between raisins and grape? Right? They shrivel up and become raisins. So that's what stomach means. It like shrivels up, means it cooks more. Certain things, when you overcook things, they start to shrivel up. So it's only mutter if it is already fully cooked. Not only fully cooked, And here you see, these things have nothing to do with Hilchos Bishul. It's really all a gzeira atu havara. Right? Once something's fully cooked, we know there's no Bishul. Doesn't matter if it gets better or worse. But over here, it's all gzeira atu havara. So what do they say? That it's only much of it, it's fully cooked, and mitzamik v'ralo, and now getting worse with additional cooking. Why? Well, obviously, if it's fully cooked and it gets worse the more you cook it, you're not going to stoke the coals because you don't want it to get worse. There's no problem because who wants it to get worse? Meaning, you want it to stay a little warm, but you want it to stay only a little warm. You don't want to raise the flame. Or if it's raw and not cooked at all, the kevin shuchai. Why? If it's raw, wouldn't you think for sure you'll come to do chitu b'cholim? No, the kevin shuchai. Misiyat daito imenu ad l'macher. Since it's raw, it's never going to cook for dinner. Anything raw is not going to be ready by Friday night dinner. At least we're talking about cooking foods, right? We're not talking about barbecues. Everyone knows. Anyone here ever actually cook anything? Because I'm going to say everyone knows, and I'm just making things up. So. Who's going to check if I'm right? Okay, great. So everyone knows that if you barbecue things, they get cooked a lot quicker than if you cook them in a pot. Is that true? Okay, great. So here we're not talking about barbecuing things. We're talking about cooking them in a pot. If you cook meat in a pot, then it's not going to be ready for dinner. It takes a long time to cook. And therefore, if it's totally raw when Shabbos starts, and you put it in and you put the pot in the oven, it's obvious it's only going to be ready for lunch, it's not going to be ready for dinner. You're not going to stoke the coals to get ready for dinner because it's not going to be ready for dinner. And you're not going to stoke the coals to get ready for lunch because it's like slow cooking. It doesn't matter how hot or not hot it is, it'll be ready in time for lunch. For lunch, you have a long time until lunchtime. So therefore, there's no problem. You don't have the psychological pressure. If there's no psychological pressure, then you won't make a mistake on Shabbos. So what's the only time that it's usher? The only time that it's usher is, well, in special successful, in special tzorko, but if it's cooked a little, but not fully cooked, or it's fully cooked, but it's still getting better as it cooks more, and therefore you might feel that you want it to cook more and more to get better and better, we're afraid you might stoke the coals, and you're not allowed to do shahia, we will not read any further. We will not read any further right now. sorry. Where do these heterim come from? So here, let's go in. Make things a little easier. Not exactly in order of how we read. The first heter of Shira is what they call Hedera Chaisa, a raw pot of meat. That's based on the Gemara in Daf Yechesim Amud Beis. The Gemara says, here's what I was looking for before. It was right where I was looking. Bushel shaver dummy. Bushel lo bushel usser. Right, that's the principle of Yechesim days. If it's raw, it's fine. If it's cooked, it's fine. If it's in between, that's the problem. Which is what we just read in the Shulchan Aruch, although obviously we know there'll be more than one opinion tonight as to where to draw the line. But one case is Kedera Chaisa. Kedera Chaisa is no problem. Okay, there are some discussions as to exactly. Now, the Gemara adds one thing. The Gemara says, the Shadva Garma Chaya Shaper Dummy. Even if you throw in one bone, one piece of raw meat, that is good enough. Why? Because you've shown in your mind that you're not thinking about it to lunch, and that's what it says a little later in the Shulchan Aruch. We just run through some words. It says, also the shosol le'alim kein garf ta'in sh'otzmi le'kol le'cholim o'kav ta'in sh'kisa kolim be'if le'mayit chomam v'im nasa v'chaticha chai. If you put in one raw piece of meat, mocha kilu ha'isa kula chai, is as much as it was all meat. Why? Because it's all psychological. Da'yidekach me'si'ef da'itman. If I put a whole pot of raw meat, I am taking my mind off of it for dinner. I've decided in my mind it's only for lunch. If I put in one piece of raw meat, I've also shown in my mind it's also for lunch. So it was for dinner, why am I putting one piece of raw meat? Obviously, what I'm saying is, I don't care about it until lunchtime. I already have too much to eat for dinner. Yes?
I guess I just understand how those two things could exist both in the same, that a lot of meat could be the Seir Daito and also one piece of meat in the Seir Daito when both of, one of them will cook right away and one of them will wait till...
Right, basically, if I have 20 pieces of meat that are already half-cooked and one piece of meat that's raw, even though the 20 pieces of meat will be good for dinner, but by putting in one piece of meat that's raw, I've shown in my mind that I don't want to eat anything in this pot for dinner. That the whole pot I want to save for lunch. That's what I've done. I've shown that I want to save it for lunch. By putting in one piece of raw meat.
Even though it may cook that piece.
That piece won't cook till lunch. How could that piece cook before lunch?
But also we're saying 20 pieces also, if they were all raw, would also not would also be ready for lunch.
Right.
But one piece...
If you... I mean... We're assuming it takes the same amount of time to cook one piece as 20 pieces.
Okay.
Now... Okay, that's a little tricky. That depends exactly. But certainly inside an oven... Shouldn't it take the same amount of time to cook 20 pieces? Yeah, I think usually we assume it takes the same amount of time to cook 20 pieces of one piece. Don't confuse this with cooking a piece that's 20 units thick.
Uh-huh.
That's different. But if you're talking about a pot, a stew with 40 pieces like this of meat, and a stew with one piece of this like meat, will take the same amount of time to cook. Okay.
We would say the same thing, I'm assuming, by two different types of food, like fat potatoes and also raw meat. So the potatoes are ready right now, and they're fully cooked. Or they're almost fully cooked, but the meat is very raw, so in that case, it doesn't necessarily have to be also the same type of meat.
Correct. This has to be one thing. It's just symbolic, because this is really just about psychology, about whether you are going to be worried about it or not.
I mean, psychology, even still, like when I would assume that if part has been done before, that one piece is already ready, since it's already half cooked, so it's one piece that's not fully cooked. There are people who will be like, okay, I'll eat what's cooked now, and I'll eat what's not cooked.
Okay, there are people a lot, but the assumption is that when you put in one raw piece, what you're saying is that I've decided not to eat any of it till tomorrow. That's the assumption. By putting in one raw piece, I mean, it's interesting. It, maybe if one raw piece fell in by accident, maybe it would be different. I don't know. But here, when you purposely put in one raw piece, what you're doing is I'm demonstrating that I really don't plan to eat this for dinner. Now, you're right, theoretically you could pull a shtick, or you could change your mind, but I'll be rove, anyone who puts one raw piece of meat in that he knows won't be cooked for dinner, is deciding that he doesn't want this pot for dinner, and he probably won't change his mind.
So would you be allowed to eat it now?
What?
Would you be allowed to eat it?
Would you be allowed to eat the rest of the pot for dinner if you change your mind? That is a great question. I haven't seen that addressed in the postkin. My intuition is that, let's say you change your mind. You put in one raw piece, and you change your mind, and you decide to eat it for dinner. My intuition is it's mutter to eat it for dinner, but now it's usser to leave the rest of it on the fire, because now if you plan to eat it for dinner, this is Gzeir Shem Yechata. That's my intuition.
The same question that we just asked about eating around, and what if that raw piece cooks very quickly? And all of a sudden...
But it won't. It won't.
Well,
what?
It's impossible.
No, the
also,
case...
Also, I've never seen meat that takes 12 hours to cook. So I don't know this is the material.
Okay, so hold that thought. So here we have a lot of questions. So let's just fill in the details. One detail is... One raw piece. That's mutter. And really, Zev's question about how long it takes to cook has nothing to do with one raw piece. You could have the same thing at a whole raw pot. So that's why I'm not bringing it up here. Let me just ask if you could take it one step further. Could I take it one step further and say, well, hold on. The ikker is, do I plan to eat it for dinner or for lunch? So if it's raw, I obviously plan to eat it for lunch, leaving Zev's objection aside for now, right? If I put in one raw piece, then I've also shown that I plan to eat it for lunch. What if I just stop plan to eat it for lunch? What if I have a cholent? The cholent is a quarter cooked when Shabbos starts. Right? It's a quarter cooked when Shabbos starts. A quarter cooked when Shabbos starts is not raw and is not cooked. It should be Nisr Shia. But I never eat cholent for dinner. I always eat cholent for lunch. I know, I'm dead serious. I'm not pulling any shtick. I know that I only plan to eat it for lunch. So is it enough to just skip the raw pieces and just plan to eat it for lunch, assuming that you really honestly plan to eat it for lunch, like cholent, where, to the best of my knowledge, and none of the houses I've been in, they eat cholent at dinner. Actually, okay, that's not true. There are some people of the younger age cohort who like to eat Friday night cholent, if not for dinner, then for, you know, late Friday night tish cholent, etc. We all know in Moen, then the Hilga Moko, we have the Hilga midnight cholent. But let's assume we're talking at regular Balabatish places without, without collegiates. When, of course, you only eat cholent for lunch. So is that good enough to just stop want to eat it for lunch? Yeah. Without doing anything physical to, you know, to correspond to that.
You haven't done anything to demonstrate your commitment.
Right, so you haven't done anything to demonstrate your commitment, so is that good enough? Pashtun shot in the Gemara, what would you say? Is it good enough to just stop and think you want to eat it for lunch?
No.
No, because why does the Gemara go through the whole thing of putting in one piece? Why not just say, you decide to eat it for lunch? Pashtun shot in the Gemara is that, no, when they make zeros, often, the way Chazal make zeros and halachas, they don't want everything to depend on what you think. They want it to be demonstrated with something concrete. That's the Pashtun shot. However, Beis Yosef quotes, who did the Beis Yosef quote? From the, you think I remember? It was the Hagohos Mordechai okay, I don't remember the Hagohos Mordechai and the Kolbo. That was it. The Hagohos Mordechai and the Kolbo. The Beis Yosef quotes on Gos Mordechai in the Kolbo. Now, if you look in the Bach and others say these Rishonim never meant it. It's not clear this is a sheet in Rishonim. This may or may not be a sheet in Rishonim, but the Beis Yosef quotes on Gos Mordechai in the Kolbo that really the Gemara is lav davka. The Gemara is just trying to say if you decide to eat it for lunch, and it's enough to just mentally decide to eat it for lunch. That's what the Beis Yosef quotes on Gos Mordechai in the Kolbo, although, I'll say it again, it's not so clear that they actually meant that. The Bach right there on the other side from the Beis Yosef says they didn't mean that. In the Bir Halacha deals with this, in Dibur Hamaskil, in the third Bir Halacha, Lashel Soleh, Letzor Halayla, Kenu Lashel Tor, Vim Kavanos, and he says maybe even the Tor means that, Vim Kavanos, Letzor Machor, Yesh Poskim, Shematirim. Some people are Matar as long as your Kavanah is for tomorrow. Maybe it's the same thing. No, in this case, since you didn't do a commitment and you didn't do anything concrete, you didn't commit yourself, you just thought, we're afraid you'll change your mind and be fickle, and the Xerus still applies. So, here we have the question is, what about just thinking it is for lunch? So, Rov Poskim say Aser. That's not good enough because you don't have a commitment. That's what the Bir Halacha focuses on. However, the Hagos Mordechai and the Kolbo Lefi the Beis Yosef, and some people even want to indict this a little in the Torah, although that's more of a stretch, say that it is Mutter. And therefore, Paskins the Bir Halacha, and this is based on something we'll see much later in some Rishon Zayin. Paskins Bir Halacha, Elisha Bidi Evid Yesh Lissochal Zer Rachel Yeragil Lassos Kain Kedol Kanaman, some Rishon Zayin, some Alabagoling Hatzmana. There's a Ramah later on by Hatzmana who says that there's a similar Kula there, in the name of slightly different Rishonim, says, well, this is a unique Psak. This is enough Vishita, there's enough Vishita that we could be so much b'dievet that it doesn't trape up your food if you did, or it doesn't asher your food on Shabbos if you did it. However, not all the time, only if you don't make a pattern out of it. That's a unique psak we have here. So therefore, halacha l'maisa, haskins the bir halacha, lecha tchila asher, you for sure can't rely on that. B'dievet, can you eat the food if someone did this? Let's say someone left their cholent on. Someone left their cholent on. Be'isser of Shehiya. But they say, well, maybe I can be somech on that shita, b'di'evet, you can eat the cholent. So can I, b'di'evet, eat the cholent? And be somech on that shita, that's okay because I was leaving it for lunch? Depends. If it's that they had this unique occurrence, they didn't have their regular equipment, they were in a different place and they messed up and etc., that's one thing. But if this is the regular pattern, then you can't mutter em eino rogil lasos kach. It's mutter if someone doesn't do it all the time. If they do it all the time, then even b'diavad you have to ask her, because otherwise it just turns into something that becomes okay. Okay, that's the unique sack of the beer halacha here, yes.
So, and this is even if it's partially cooked. I mean, of course, if it's raw...
No, if it's raw, it's mutter. This is if it's partially cooked. This is if it's not raw.
Sorry. Yeah.
Right? This is if it's not raw. Just thinking. Okay, so that kula, you can't really, is not really so practical. Only once in a while, not that you could do it, but once in a while, if it's done, that you could eat it, yesh makom lahakel.
Yeah, why is there no iser bishul of throwing raw meat into the pot?
Because you're throwing it in right before Shabbos starts.
Why is it not the iser of not letting it be? It's not machal ben dersai. Why is there no problem with this?
Because you threw it in before Shabbos starts, and you're allowed to have malacha done by itself on Shabbos if you set it up before Shabbos. It's like lighting a candle and it burns all Shabbos. Or it's even like setting your lights on a timer and they go on Shabbos. It's okay because you set it up before Shabbos. So here you set it up before Shabbos, so it's no problem with bishul. Kedei Rechaisin doesn't mean you put in the raw food when Shabbos starts. It means you put in the raw food right before Shabbos starts. Now, there are perhaps one or two other issues that we have to deal with here. There's a whole question of what types of foods. Continuing this. What types of foods? So the Gemara mentions a garma, a bone, a piece of meat. However, the Rambam, the Perusha Mishnaya, says, O yerek, or vegetables. What's the chiddush?
So the Rambam doesn't hold his bishul by yerek.
Right.
Oh, that's nechal chai.
No, most yerokos aren't nechal chai. I mean, it depends on which yerokos. Most, some yerokos. Most yerokos that you cook are not nechal chai. You don't put cucumbers in cholent. You put, onions, and I mean, it's not called a yerok. I don't know, turnips and other things. The chiddush is, even though yerokos cook pretty quickly, right? So, like, what's the chop of yerokos? So there, it's very strange. The, what materials or which foods count? Is it, right, only meat or even yerek? So the pashup shot is only meat, because meat takes a long time to cook. However, the Rambam, Pirush Mishnayos, says even yerek. Now that's strange. What does he mean by that? Does he just mean, well, melech is a symbolic thing, just do something, it doesn't really matter? So, the Rambam Perush Mishnayos says, basar, ol yerek. However, the Beis Yosef says, we don't paskin that way. And if you look in the Yotzei Kalim here, the Magen Avraham in number Dalid says, dafka chatichos basar, ol yerek, lo. And the Taz in Sivkat and Beis says, Davka basar v'chein roi lahalacha. He says in the Mishnah Torah he only said basar, and that's roi lahalacha, and that's in the Mishnah Berurah Paskins and Tess. Davka basar chai lo yerek v'shardim v'shem kali v'shol lo. He doesn't mean kali v'shol like you had before. He just means things that cook easily. So the Beis Yosef, Magen Avraham, Taz, Mishnah Berurah, V'chuli say Davka basar. Why? Because basar will not be ready for dinner, but vegetables will be ready for dinner. Rabbi Akiva Eger here deals with in the second Rabbi Akiva Eger. He says, "How about water?" And he brings out all kinds of diukim from Tosfos. Do we even have to consider chayso by water or not? But pashut shot is that we assume no, because water is pretty easy to cook. So they have to consider chayso is only by meat, which is tough, and regular kinds of meat that are tough to cook. That is pashut shot.
What do you mean when you put water in your cholent? Like
no. Like you put up water to boil in a kumkum.
This gets back to the question I asked. Because a lot of the meat we have nowadays, it cooks quicker than...
Right, okay, great. So what about the meat we have nowadays? Now, let's think about this for a second.
The ovens, I don't know what the...
Right, what about the meat or the ovens we have nowadays? So first of all, there was a big machlokes you showed him. I don't know if it made it to the Mishnah Berurah, but it definitely made it to the Beis Yosef. About whether Whether this heter, about whether this heter applies in two directions. What about something that's too weak and maybe you're afraid it won't even make it for lunch? What about a weak fire? No. What if you're a fire that's so weak that it might even need chitoy to be ready for lunch? So that's a machlokes rishonim about kira, right? Because the Gemara has the example of tanur, which is hotter. Does this have to apply even to a kira? Well, clearly it does, according to the Mechaber, because he just said kira, and he brought down this heter. So we have a kira is a machlokes rishonim, but we paskin is that it's mutter, even a kira, even a very low heat device. Well, still, we assume that people trust it. And what's the svara? The svara is even a low heat will cook it in time for lunch. I mean, the machlokes is not necessarily machlokes in mitzias. It's machlokes in psychology. Will people feel confident that a low heat will cook it in time for lunch? So we pass in, no problem. Even a low heat will cook it in time for lunch. That is... that's not a problem. We're confident even a low heat will cook it in time for lunch. What about the opposite? Right? What about, as Zev keeps asking, I don't think our meat is terribly different. That would be, you know, if you had to guess with our meat has changed much since the time of Chalal or our ovens, I think it's clear which is the culprit, Zev, right? I mean, cows are still pretty much cows. What? Yeah, okay. We're trying to minimize that. Rafi.
Before we go on to discussing the mitzvahs of like the ovens, the combination of either whether this applies in meat or year, it also applies to a taromas of meat.
Well, no, a taromas would be fine because we only use one piece, right? I mean, taromas of meat in year is fine because the rule of one raw piece. So that's fine. Meaning, even if it's all Yerek, as long as you throw in one piece of meat, that's good enough. So that would be okay. Like, even my vegetable soup, as long as I throw in one piece of meat, that's good enough, because that shows that I don't want to tell. So then you'd be fine. That's discussed. The question is, what about a strong fire? A strong fire, a weak fire, what's the havamina? Is that maybe it needs chitoy even for lunch. Right? How about a strong fire? What about a strong fire? What's that? What's the issue? Zev says all of our fires are strong fires nowadays. Because, I don't know, who knows cooking here? How long does it take to cook? Well, it depends really what you're cooking, right? Meaning, how long does it take to cook a cholent? Anyone? How long does it take to cook a cholent?
For it to be
ready. For it to be good. Couple hours. Quite a couple hours to cook a cholent. How long does it take to cook a chicken soup?
2 hours.
2.5 hours.
2.5 hours. Okay, well, borderline. How long does it take to cook? I don't know, everything takes a different amount of time to cook, right? How long does it take to cook a pot roast? Alright, that's beyond our expertise, right?
A lot longer.
Alright, sorry. Anyway, what about a strong fire? What is a strong fire? A strong fire is that with chitoy could be ready for dinner. What about a strong fire that with chitoy could be ready for dinner? Right, that's it. And Zev says nowadays maybe all our ovens are better than their ovens. That with a little chitoy you could be ready for dinner. So says the Bir Halacha in the 5th Bir Halacha, Nirada, Filamatanar Chomorav. What if you have a really hot oven? The yochel is bashal v'yizah shos v'layil. In a few hours, the night would be enough to cook it. V'meshach hashman. Afli kein min darkish li'ad l'hamshiz rosa glokach. V'vada yisuk v'asav dayit v'nei v'losu l'chtu yei. Chay mar l'ashon rama, etc. He says, even if it takes, if it could be ready at night, but it's not ready in the normal time that people eat their dinner, then that's good enough. That's considered misiyah das. Meaning, even if it's a strong oven, it'll be ready by 9 o'clock at night. But we don't normally eat our dinner at 9 o'clock at night. So therefore, it's no problem, and that's still considered not ready till lunch. So he addresses a little bit of A little bit of our objection, says the Mishnah, says the Biur Halacha. Biur Halacha says it depends if it would be ready by normal dinner time. Then it sounds like he's saying it's usher. But if it would be ready late at night, then that's mutter, because again, theoretically, could someone stoke the coals in order to have it at 9 o'clock at night? They could. But that's not the way most people think. Most people think dinner time is dinner time, and if you miss dinner time, you wait till lunchtime. And therefore, they wait till lunchtime. So as soon as I put in this raw food, even if I know it'll be ready by 8:30 p.m., I bring the raw food, I know it'll be cooked by 8:30 p.m. But I'm wanting dinner at 8:30 p.m., so I was going to have in mind to wait till lunch. Once I have in mind to wait till lunch, that's okay.
How are you defining ready here? Like, machal ben
drusah? I think ready means kol tzarcha. Ready means kol tzarcha. People want their food cooked for dinner. So therefore, now here there's a big issue. There's one posek nowadays, Rav Henkin. Perhaps people have heard of his grandson, or if you haven't heard of his grandson, you've at least heard of his granddaughter-in-law, right? That would be the wife of his grandson, right? His grandson's wife, Rav Nit Henkin, is the head of Nishmat, is very famous. His grandson, Rav Yehuda Herzl Henkin, is a big Talmid Chacham, and is less famous, but a big Talmid Chacham. That was a rub in different places in Eretz Yisrael. His great-grandson was unfortunately tragically in the news recently as a terror victim. But the older of Yosef Eliyahu Henkin was
the grandson of the famous Posek, you're saying?
Yeah, Rabbi Huda Herzl Henkin is the grandson of the famous Posek. Rabbi Nit Henkin is the wife, is the granddaughter-in-law of the famous Posek. And unfortunately, the Kadosh Rav Eitam Henkin is the great-grandson of the famous Posek. The famous Posek name is Yosef Eliyahu Henkin. We have his svarim downstairs, like on the Monday Rabbi Shutt shelf. He was the biggest Posek in America until someone came and, I guess, stole all the attention from him, named Rav Moshe Feinstein. But before Rav Moshe Feinstein, he was the greatest posek in America. And then the name of Moshe Feinstein, they were both great posek, and then Rav Moshe Feinstein became more famous and also also lived a little later, was a little younger than him. So Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin writes that he thinks bismanenu, that we have modern stoves, there's no heter p'dir chaisa anymore, because after all, everything can be cooked for dinner. All you have to do is turn the flame up to high, and everything will be ready for dinner. And that's the Zev. Maybe you'll turn the flame up to high and get ready for dinner. So he says what Zev said. Zev was Mechami too, the big posek, the big world famous posek Rav Henkin, Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin, who said nowadays this kula doesn't apply. The menaga olam is to here lemaisa. Rav Yosef Eliyahu Henkin says, also nowadays, says there's no such kula anymore nowadays. Nowadays, we have such strong stoves and ovens that all you have to do is turn the temperature up all the way and everything will cook in an hour and a half and be ready for dinner. The Minhag HaOlam is not like that. The Minhag HaOlam is that everyone still relies on this heter of Kedira Chaisa.
Won't a lot of things burn if you do that?
Right, so it's not so pashut, right? I mean, you can't just turn everything up to 500 degrees, correct? I mean, maybe technically you can get the chemical process of cooking, but it won't be good, right? So the minigolum is to be makel. Why is the minigolum to be makel? It could be the minigolum is to be makel because nowadays we want to have our dinner as soon as we come home from shul, right? It's normal, unless you're Hasidish Rebbe. But it's normal that everyone has Friday night dinner as soon as shul is over. And as soon as shul is over is like 1 hour or something from when Shabbos starts. And therefore, most of our food, even if you turned it up high, wouldn't be ready mamish in time for dinner, and at least not if you cooked it normally and wanted it to not get burnt and taste decent in the end. So the mice of the minigolim is to be makel. From what I've seen, the minigolim is to be makel and not start making cheshbonos about exactly how long this cut of meat takes and how long that cut of meat takes. The minigolim is to assume that, and that's what Mishaburah meant to say. The Bar Lava was like, oh, it's okay, because usually it's not going to be cooked until after normal dinner time, so the men and women must be somewhat on that end to be makled, even though if you really investigated each case, you know, maybe you'd want to say some cases yes, some cases no, but Lemaisa, the Minig Olam, is to be makel in this, and we lie that it works out, and we meet the Bir Halacha's criteria. I heard someone once point out that they think that Rav Henkin's time is unfair. If you're going to take into account that our ovens are different than the ovens of the time of the Gemara, you should hold like the Poskim Rav Avadya, that there's no Xera in the first place nowadays. Mela, if you're going to hold Xera in the first place, because they were those in their days, so we don't have to be more machmer. Okay. That's not an unreasonable taina, although philosophically, you know, one would have to analyze it. What else did I want to point out here? One interesting question is the what counts as raw? So the Taz here brings a big, big, big chiddush that he quotes from his Bach that at least according to the Ramah, if not the Mechaber, anything below Machal Ben Rusai counts as raw. That is definitely against the Mechaber. Says the Mechaber, in this Vashal Ktsatz, it's already not raw. So, what counts as raw? The Bach suggests, at least in the opinion of some Rishonim, anything Pachos Mimachal ben Rusai counts as raw. However, the Mechaber and all the other Achronim say only totally raw counts as this heter. Meaning, only counts as heter totally raw. And the Mishaburah does say that it's okay if it's hot. Right? It's okay if it's hot, as long as it's not cooked yet. Like sometimes you can imagine, let's say you put up a chicken soup from scratch or a chulim from scratch. It takes a while to get hot, and then it starts cooking. So then you have some leeway. That's the Mishnah Berurah in Sifkatan. Yonah Aleph, Hayim Da'afilu Hucham, HaTavshol, basing himself on a Rav Haigon, says the totally raw, even if it's hot, says the Mishnah Berurah, but it has to be, totally raw. Now, what does that mean? It means you can't put it in 15 minutes before Shabbos and say it's Kedira Chaisa, because then by the time Shabbos starts, it won't be totally raw anymore. Of course, what problems does that create? If you have to put it in mamish, right? Because otherwise it'll be cooked 1%. You can't put it in 15 minutes or 18 minutes before. What's the problem? The problem is the 18 minutes, right? So, totally raw. When does it have to be raw? So here is Rav Henkin, who clearly did not like this. Rav Henkin said, you know what has to be raw? Et shtia. And therefore he said, nowadays we can't do Kedira Chaisa, because our minig is to stop doing Lacha 18 minutes before, so you can't put in a raw bone et shtia. So Rav Henkin says, et shtia. He says that shkia, and therefore, nowadays, you shouldn't use this heter, because then you have to do malacha 1 minute before shkia, and then you're violating the minig of 18 minutes. However, that's not the minig olam. The minig olam and Rosh Shlomo Zalman says, he doesn't say it mamish straight out. He says, efshar. But okay, lechora his efshar means it's okay, the minig olam. If you want to find this in Rosh Shlomo Zalman, it's in... Minigah Olam, and this is found in the Shutman Hashlomo, Chelik Beis, Simon Yud Beis, Os Dalid, is that he says, well, you can't just say, I'm a Kabbalah to set for Shabbos, that counts. No, that. But he says, Tosefes Shabbos Hanahog Al Yideat Tzibor. If there's a Tosefes Shabbos that the whole Tzibor is Nohag to start 18 minutes before, then that counts as Kedira Chaisa. You could call that the beginning of Shabbos for the purpose of Kedira Chaisa.
What about early Shabbat in the summer?
Early Shabbat in the summer, it sounds like you would not allow a heter of Kedira Chaisa in early
Doesn't
Shabbat
mean
in the summer.
You're going to eat your meal, the earlier you accept Shabbos, the earlier...
No, here it's a matter of technicality, though. Here it's a matter of technicality. Chazal said it has to be Kedira Chaisa when Shabbos starts. When does Shabbos start? Why can't we say technically guilty of the gzera, not to be practical.
Why can't we say Shabbat starts at 1 o'clock?
What?
You said it.
Yes. He asked, why don't we just see if it'll be ready by dinner or not? So I said, no. At this point, there's a technical gzera that they said it has to be kedera chaisa.
Because when Shabbat starts.
I know, but they said it has to be chaisa when Shabbat starts. And therefore, it has to be chaisa when Shabbat starts. The question is, what's called Shabbat starting?
Why can't we hold Shabbat starting when you makabel Shabbat?
We could, but Rav Shlomo Zalman says, the Mincha Shlomo, that it's not true. You're right, theoretically we could, and maybe if I looked more in the post, I might find someone who said that. You know, just because Rav Shlomo Zalman says it's not true doesn't mean no one else holds it. So,
the rules are
Alex wants to say that it's whenever you're makabel Shabbos. If it's chaisa when you're makabel Shabbos, that's good enough. Rav Shlomo Zalman says, mefurish, that's not true. Could it be that someone else holds it's true? It could be. Maybe I just haven't looked enough.
So Rav Shlomo Zalman was only talking, he was clearly only talking about the 18 minutes?
Well, he might have been talking about the 40 minutes, right?
Okay.
He's right. Shalom Yit,
but,
right?
But during the summer, the meaning of the law is to not do this?
Well, according to Rav Shlomo Zalman, he didn't hold for early Shabbos anyway. Shalom Yit didn't hold for early Shabbos anyway, right? Yeah, early Shabbos is a gullus thing.
Why?
Because the Gro was against early Shabbos, and the Yerushalmi Yidden were Prushim who followed, and a lot of them helped with the Gros, they didn't hold from early Shabbos.
A lot of Sephardim do early Shabbos.
And I'm only talking about the Ashkenazim, truly. Among the Ashkenazim, if you ask Ad Hayom Zef, you ask from Nevensal about early Shabbos, he says, these Americans came and they were Makalkal all of Judaism with early Shabbos. Which he means that the Mishnah Brura says you can make early Shabbos. I don't mean like it was invented by like some like rabbi with a small yarmulke on a motorcycle someplace in America. And the Mishnah Brura says you can make early Shabbos, and in Europe they made early Shabbos, and in America they made early Shabbos. And the Gros says you can't make early Shabbos, and Neila, since in Eretz Yisrael it's easier to be machmir because it doesn't get so late, the Prushim in Eretz Yisrael didn't hold. So Rav Shlomo Zalman never heard of early Shabbos. I've been told that until there was a bigger American Aliyah, no one made early Shabbos, at least among the Ashkenazim, in Eretz Yisrael. To the point where an Israeli rabbi who works here once came over to me and says, with all respect, I don't chas v'shalom mean to question or anything, but this thing all you Americans have about early Shabbos, is there like any mucker for it in the postgame? I don't mean to disrespect, I'm just curious. Is there like any mucker for this idea you Americans have early Shabbos? So I showed him it's a Mishnah Brura.
That's also a scary sign of the way Israelis become very...
No, okay, that's again too much of the policy. I'm just trying to demonstrate. You shouldn't be surprised.
The mainstream Minhagim, a lot of times, are the American Minhagim that are based on the Hemshek from Europe.
Right.
And the Israelis were a small community that changed the Minhagim.
No. In any case.
No, that's important. Okay. And it's on a recorder.
Okay. In any case, okay, that should be noted for posterity. To the extent that this represents posterity. Anyway, in any case, Rav Shlomo Zalman never heard of early Shabbos. If you're going to ask, what would those who did hear of early Shabbos, what would they say about this? Okay, you know, maybe I'll look more in the postkin. See if anyone says Tosefes Shabbos Didei, right? His Tosefes Shabbos counts. Obviously, you also have to practically not be ready, right? If I'm Kabbal Shabbos 2 hours before, and I mean, you know, then obviously it's a little cheating. But let's say I make early Shabbos, and still it's not going to be ready for a long time. Would that be good enough technically? Okay, Rav Shlomo Zalman doesn't say that. Rav Henkin doesn't say that. I have to check in the other post complete editor, and maybe someone does say that.
What about the reverse case where if you're bringing in Shabbos 40 minutes early in your Yerushalayim, and right now it's in between fully cooked and raw? But by the time 40 actual shkia comes, it's going to be fully cooked.
That's a good question. Lemaisa, the minig is to be makel on that. It's a good question. The minig is to be makel. Okay, I think that's all we have to say about kedera chaisa. Now let's get to the more exciting action, which is kedera chaisa. This is what's called in the language of the Gemara Daf Yud Ches lo bashel. Then there's something called, in the language of the Gemara Daf Yud Ches, bushel. The question is, how bushel is bushel? And this is a machlokes between... Someone help me out here. How cooked does it have to be to not have a gzeira anymore?
The rush is on the other side.
Don't be so historically delayed. This is a machlokes between... Chanan Minyan Lechachamim. Right? That's the earliest we can trace it. If it was a machlokes anyone before then, it's been lost in the sands of history, right? I can't tell you what Achia Hashiloni held about it. But as far as we know, history goes back to machlokes. What?
Dasham Tov might have known Achia Hashiloni.
Okay, but I don't. And I'm very skeptical as to whether anyone nowadays could. But have bushel is bushel, so this is a fundamental machlokes tanoim. Right? This is a machlokes tanoim between Hananya and the Chachamim. Right? What does Hananya say? How cooked does it have to be to take away the pshash of Shem Yechazeh? Machel ben Drusai. What's the logic? The logic is that what does Machel ben Drusai mean? Machel ben Drusai, who is ben Drusai?
Bandit.
Ben Drusai was a bandit. I might have mentioned this before. I've always wondered, what's the chus, the highway robber, the bandit, the ice marf, the Russian, the criminal, right? Ben Drusai had that there were fine, upstanding Yidden who lived 2,000 years ago whose names have been forgotten. And Ben Drusai is remembered every time we learn Hilchos Shabbos or, you know, Mishal Akum or many, many other areas of Halacha. So, you know, the Baal Shem Tov here would tell us the story about how, right, he was such a bandit, but once he saved some widows and orphans or whatever the case may be, and, you know, you never know what scar you get. Okay, this is why, if the Baal Shem Tov was here, that's the first question I would ask him. Tell me the story of Ben Drusai. But Lamaisa, Ben Drusai is a bandit, he was always on the run from the law, so he always ate his food only barely partially cooked to be barely edible because he didn't want to stay too long in one place so the law wouldn't catch up with him. And Machel Ben Drusai means barely edible. Right? As opposed to Mevush Bel Sarka, which means fully edible, like your average person would consider ready to eat. It might be able to get better. But Moshe Lutzarko is your average person considered ready to eat. Machel Ben Drusai means it's barely edible, although no one would consider it ready to eat. So what's the Hananya Svara? Hananya Svara is Machel Ben Drusai. After all, once it's barely edible, now, of course you'd like it to finish cooking. But you're not going to be stressed about it. Once it's already barely cooked, it'll of course cook a little more, so it'll be more than Machel Ben Drusai. Exactly how far it'll get. You'd like it to be delicious as possible, but you're not going to be stressed about it, because, like, it's not the end of the world. Either way, you'll have what to eat. Since it's not the end of the world, you're not going to be so stressed about it. Since you're not so stressed about it, you'll remember Shabbos, and you won't be Mechalel Shabbos. That's Hananya. Meaning he trusts that Yidden, they remember Shabbos, and maybe if they were stressed that their food was inedible, they might, chas v'shalom, do an Aveira. But as long as their food's edible, they'll be able to remember Shabbos and not do an Aveira. Now, how do we define Machel Ben Drusai? Anyone?
A third.
That's the opinion of Zev and...
Rashi.
That's the opinion of... Where am I? Yes. Zev and Rashi. A third. But, what does Rambam hold?
Fourth.
No, it holds fourth. Sorry, a half. So here, this is a machlokes. Rashi says one third. The Rambam says a half. Meaning time-wise, right? Let's say the recipe says, cook this for 2 hours. So Rashi says 40 minutes of Machel Ben Drusai, and the Rambam says an hour is Machel Ben Drusai. Who do we paskin like? So, who might you think the paskin like in this context? If you had to pick, how would you, without knowing the Mechaber, how would you paskin?
Rambam.
You paskin?
A third cooked meat is pretty gross.
What?
Lemaisa, third cooked meat is like...
Okay, let's not paskin based on Lemaisa.
For Shehiya,
who do you paskin like?
Rashi.
I might think paskin like Rashi based on the rule of... Suffered Yerubanan Lekula. Right? After all, Shehiya is Xerid Yerubanan, so maybe we should be Mikul. Right? Rashi is obviously more Mikul here.
It's not a Kula.
What?
It's not a Kula, it's not a Bishul.
I'm not talking about Bishul, I'm talking about Shehiya. And Bishul doesn't make enough kamina in most practical cases anyway. Okay, however, the Mechaber here doesn't say much. He does bring the Shita of Hananya, of course. Much later says, V'yesh omen, the culture is bashal, kamashal, kachal, ben drusai, etc. is mutter, but he doesn't say what it is. However, if you flip to the Mechaber in Reish Nun Dalid, So if bays, he says, ain sol in busser bat. So there he's talking not about cooking, but at roasting. That's the difference about broiling. Rishon Gimel about cooking, Rishon Dalet about broiling. He says, "Ain sol in batzel ubeisa ubasar agavi cholim." We can't roast onions or eggs or meat on coals. Unless it gets roasted on both sides before Shabbos, kamachem b'nirsai, shehu chetzi bishulo, which is half. So the mechaber later on paskins half in our sim, and also lo alma Yisrael, the Nosek Hillel point out that the Magen Avraham in our siman in Sifkatan in Tess Zion says Ayin Sim Ration Dal Sif Beis. Agav, just to not be confused, if anyone looks at the Magen Avraham Tess Zion, he says, you want to know Machlokes Mishnah, is look to Machaber Pasuk Ayin Sim and Ration Dal Sif Beis Veha Ayin Shin Lo Ayin Shin. What does that mean? The Ha'ola Shabbos lo ien shum. The Ola Shabbos who paskened the other sheet didn't remember to look at the Machaber later on. Okay, I don't know if he was trying to challenge us here or if it just came out funny. But the Ha'ein Shin lo Ayin Shin means Ha'ola Shabbos lo ien shum. The Mishbur says the same thing in Lamed Ches, Yesho Machatzi Bishol, Yesho Mishlish Bishol, Shokhar Kamshay, Rashin Al Tzibes, Tosam Chatzi Bishol, Half Bishol. Why? So the. The Mishnah Berurah here doesn't say. However, the poskim say because of chumrah de Shabbos, sometimes even a suffix rabbanan will be extra machmir. So says the Mechaber later on, and the Magen Avraham, and the Mishnah Berurah, even though it's a suffix rabbanan, because we try to be very machmir sometimes to help the Shabbos, we try to be a little extra machmir, he says, make sure it's half cooked when Shabbos starts. However, that's not a strict, hard and fast halachic rule. It's not like a rule in the Torah that suffix rabbanan is lachumra because of chumra to Shabbos. It's more of just an ideal, a factor. And therefore, says the Mishnah Berurah in Lamed Ches, you should try to plan that it be a half cooked if you're a Hananya Yid. You can rely on a third cooked. Right? So B'Shasachak, you can rely on a third cooked because really, Safed Rabban Lakula, the Iker Halacha is like Rashi. It's just you try to be Machr like Tosos, and the Machaber just wants to be a little extra Machr like Tosos, and therefore. Me'ikra din, we can be makel on a third cook, and likewise says the Mishnah Berurah Mem Gimel, leaning to the Eved, Yishlo Horus, Ma'am Lashir Shlos Bishulo, B'di'eved, you can be makel on a third cook. So this is Lechatchila, but B'di'eved, that's Mishnah Berurah Mem Gimel, or B'shas Adchak, that's Mishnah Berurah Lamed Ches, you can be makel like Rashi. Okay, so really Rashi doesn't serve an X. Right, look, Achilu or Machba like with Rambam, but because if you look in the Achronim, that's against the rule of Safed Rabbanan Lakula. So therefore, Lechatchila, we try to be more Machmir, but Me'ikra Din, if you're stuck with the Eved, a third is good enough. Yes.
You mentioned that, in general, by Ma'aseh Shabbos, Rabbanan were makel with the Eved, but these are different. Is that the same?
That's this part, but the Shas Adchak is saying that here, even lechatchila, when you're stuck, you can be makel b'di'evet. Why? Because really, it's a gzeira, it's not a malacha, so suffer your rabbanan lahakel. So you're right, the b'di'evet is not such a chiddush. The chiddush is b'shas adchak, you can even be makel lechatchila. Why? Because suffer your rabbanan lahakel. Then really, we should follow the makel. We just try to be a little more machmir when we can.
Is the reason we're talking about Safik Darabana Mahakel here because it's Machlokas Rishonim? Like, we don't say that every time there's a Machlokas on the Darabana and Safik Mahakel.
So that's interesting. The answer is, all else being equal, we do. Meaning, if it's Machlokas Rishonim about a Din Darabana, then we often say Safik Darabana Mahakel. It's just that sometimes there are rayas one way or the other way, and then that's different. If if someone's position is stronger, that's different, or if there's a rove, that's different. So you're right. Some of your lakula is not something to always do. You could certainly have understood the Mechaber Paskins like the Rambam, stam, because he thinks his shita is more poskim on its side or has more proofs, etc. The Mishnah Brura, I mean, he doesn't say much here. He just says, I know you're a rabbi, etc. But the Achronim, leading up to the Mishnah Brura, assume that it's not that we pass like the Rambam because we have a reason to pass like the Rambam. That's the point. If there's no reason either way, we would say Sabbath Yorban al-Hakam. But if there is a reason, if it's, so maybe the Mechaber had a reason, but we pass it, no, the Mechaber didn't have a reason. He just tried to be Machmer, which is good to be Machmer l'chachila. However, B'Shas HaChak, we can be Mekel.
Referring to, there's like a third of 20 pieces, does that mean that third of the piece has to be completely, or like Machmer l'chachila, or does that mean third of each piece needs to be Machmer l'chachila?
No, no. That means that we're defining Machmer l'chachila. That means that all the pieces have to be a third cooked. Not, I don't mean a third, like a third of the pieces. A third of the space. I mean a third of the time. All the pieces have to be a third cooked time-wise. Meaning, if the recipe calls for 2 hours, they have to be cooked at least 40 minutes. Then they're a third of the way cooked. So it's not a third of the space. It's a third of the time. But all of the space, the whole pot, has to be at least a third cooked. According to Rashi, and according to the Rambam, must be half-cooked. So, for example, if I have a roast that calls for 20 minutes, 2 hours, according to Rashi, it has to be in for at least 40 minutes before Shabbos starts. And according to the Rambam, it has to be in for at least an hour before Shabbos starts, according to according to Hananya. That is Hananya. What about the Chachamim? What do the Chachamim say? The Chachamim say, that it has to be Mevushal Kol Tzarko. The Chachamim say it has to be Mevushal Kol Tzarko. And then the Gemara has a debate. What about Mevushal Kol Tzarko and Samech V'yafalo? Is that Mutter or is that Usser? And the maskana is, right, the nechleku amoraim bidin mitstamik biyafalo, the kaimalon osir. It's clear in the maskana of the Gemara, if you look in the Gemara, daflam and zayin, we hold the kaimalon is osir, which means that, you need it to be mevushal kol tzarko, mitzamek v'ralo, meaning the Chachamim are very suspicious of human nature. They say if it's not fully cooked, we're afraid someone might be stressed to cook it and b'chal Shabbos. Even if it is fully cooked, but if it's getting more and more delicious and better, like for example a chillant or a soup, right? The longer you cook it, the better it gets, right? Sometimes my wife makes a soup after however long she's supposed to cook it. I don't know, a couple hours, whatever. It's perfectly good. It's edible. But you know what? If you cook it another 12 hours, it's even better. Every hour of cooking, it gets better. That mitzamek v'yafilo. As opposed to, chicken. You cook chicken past the time, it's mitzamek v'ralo. You cook a roast past the time, it's mitzamek v'ralo. And most of our solid foods are mitzamek v'ralo. So one beer halacha, based on the Gemara. That is the fourth beer halacha in the Siman, which goes through all the different materials. What's mitzvah bialfilo? What's mitzvah feralo? Yeah, I'm not quite sure how relevant that is. Meaning nowadays we have different foods, and we have to see, based on what we think of our foods, if it's the time of bialfilo, mitzvah bialfilo. My impression is that most solid foods are mitzvah feralo. If you overcook them, they get bad. Most stews and soups are mitzvah bialfilo. That's the general mahalach, but okay, each case is different. And the Mishnah Berurah brings down lots of rules from the Gemara, which I'm not sure exactly if they're relevant to the type of modern dishes we cook. Anyway, so the Chacham are very suspicious of human nature. If it's not fully cooked, maybe you'll be stressed when you're going to Chal Shabbos to cook it, even if it is cooked, but it's getting better. You want to have the best food to impress your guests. So maybe you'll be Chal Shabbos when you cook better. The only time they're not worried is... And not only that, maybe you'll just want to keep it warm. If it's mitzamek v'ralo, if it's the more heat, the more it's getting dried out and it doesn't taste good, then they trust you that you won't soak the fire. Because, like, why don't you soak the fire? Like, yeah, it's nice to have a nice fire to make sure it stays warm, but the ikker, you don't want such a hot fire. You want the lowest fire possible. So that it'll stay a little warm, but it won't get It won't get burnt and shriveled up. Okay, those are the main shitas of the Chachamim and Hananya. The big question is going to be, who do we paskin like? Or before we get to who do we paskin like, the Gemara in the beginning of Perakira, if you'll allow me, I will skip around a little in the Shulchan Aruch. Let's just read in the Gemara, the third parak, right, basically everything I've been quoting until now is with Daf Yud Chesem and Beis, which is a total agav orf in the first parak, which deals with this. The main sugyas of this are the third parak, the whole first half of the third parak, and the second half deals with Mutza. So we have Kira. Kira Shishiku B'Kashuk Vava, that's the actual Machaber we just read. No Sola Tavshel, B'Gepsu Ezen Lo Yitin Ashi Yigar Fat Shiyitin Se'efer. If you use good fuel, like Gethus and Eitzim, to fuel your Kira, you're not allowed to put food there unless you do what's called Grufu Ktuma, right? You sweep out the coals or you cover them, or what we call a blech, if anyone remembers in the old days. And remember the blech, like the sheet of metal that you put on top of your gas stove in the old days?
You remember if
you remember. Why is that only in the old days?
You remember if you remember. I still have one.
Why
but
is
I don't
that
really
only
use
in the
it.
Old days?
Yeah, because nowadays everyone uses an electric plata. I'm not saying halachically. This is just my sociological observation. Okay, great.
It's not America.
Oh, in America people still have blechs? Okay, great, excellent. So, the Gemara says you can't put on an open flame, right? Now, what does put mean? What are the two shitas in the Gemara? L'hachzer t'nan or l'shahos. This is a matter of how you interpret the Gemara, the Mishnah, Reish Kira. Right? So, what does it mean? The lush of the Mishnah is lo yitain. Lo yitain. So, the Gemara says, this is where the Machlokas comes up. The Machlokas Chananya the Chacham did not come up in the first parak, only in the third parak. One shita is lo yachzir. But the Shahos is always mutter. That's Chananya. Right? Lo yachzir. The Mishnah is talking about Chazara. You can't do Chazara unless you put a blech on your fire, on your stove. Right? You can't do Chazara without a blech. But you can always do Shahia. Or do we say no? Lo yachzeru. And then it's Chananya. Or do we say L'shahos t'nan? Okay, L'shahos t'nan, lo yashaya. And then there would be the Rachamim. You can't even do Shahia without a blech. That's how the Machlokas is expressed in in the beginning of Perakura. Yes.
There's a question about that sheet. Why is it? Couldn't it also be lo yishitznan, but and then a chazara is usher always? I mean, would that be another logical?
No, because I mean, yes, based on the line that I quoted,
but not
based on the theory of the Mishnah, which says Beis Hillel Omrim Af Machzirin.
Right.
So it's clear, since we're all Beis Hillel next, that Chazara is mutter, right? And it's clear the Chazara is only mutter if you have a blech. Fine. The question is, does only Chazara need a blech, or even Shehiya needs a blech? But you can't say there's no such answer as Chazara because that's against Beis Hillel. I thought you were going to ask a better question, which I was hoping someone would ask, but okay, what can you do? That's life. So the question is how we paskin. That's the big $64,000 question.
There's a question whether you could do Guf of Tuma for Hananya before it's Machal Ben Yusai. As in Loishai could be referring to him before
it's Machal Ben Yusai. So Zev is asking the interesting question. Here's a great question. I was hoping someone would ask this question. The question is, for Hananya, we understand for the Chachamim, Lo Yishahe, there's an issue of Shehiya, right? This is the question. The question is, for Hananya, why not say Lo Yishahe, or in the Lashon word, L'shahos Tanan, and make the Okimta of pachos mimacho ben drusai. That was the question you were getting, you were hinting at, right, Seth? Meaning, why do they have to say for Hananya l'hachzer tzanan and for the Racham l'shal tzanan? Why not say everyone l'shal tzanan for Hananya l'shal tzanan less than Machal ben Drusai is usher, and for the Racham l'shal tzanan even more than Machal ben Drusai is usher until it's fully cooked and shriveling up and getting bad? Right? That's a classic question which everyone asks. What is Rabbi Yonah's answer? Rabbi Yonah comes up with a big fish. What's Rabbi Yonah's answer? Quoted in the Bir Halacha mentioned it very briefly, but mostly at great length in the third Rebbe Kibbe Eger on the Siman. Anyone know? You know what Rabbi Yonah's answer is. What's Rabbi Yonah's answer?
That it doesn't work.
Exactly. The Mishnah says you can't do it without a blech. They couldn't have said it means for Hananya less than Machal ben Drusai, because less than Machal ben Drusai, even a blech won't help. That's Rabbi Yonah's answer.
Do the Chachamim also make that
feel? Minutes time until proven otherwise. Right? So, one answer is Rabbeinu Yonah, because the Mishnah can't be Pachos Mimachal Ben Drusai, because then even Rufa Uktuma doesn't help. Right? That's what we call a blech. Right? In which case, you can deviate from the Gemara, a diyuk, for the fact that Gemara never suggested the Mishnah was talking about less than Achal ben Drusai, proves the Mishnah couldn't have been talking about less than Achal ben Drusai. Why not? Because then even a blech won't help. There's such a strong temptation that no matter what you do, there it goes there. That's a big chiddush. Then if your chalent is a quarter cooked, even with a blech, it's also to leave it. Right? That's a nice chumrah. But you could give another answer. Another answer you could give, this would be radical, is that less than Mechon Nachal ben Drusai is raw, and much of the kuliyam without a blech. But that's going a little too far. The standard pshat is most of the mafarshim say. It's in, like the Jerusha on the bottom of the Torah and others. Most of the Farshim say that the Gemara could have said that. But the Gemara wanted to teach us the Chiddush of Lahachzer. Okay, you have to get into exactly what the Chiddush of Lahachzer is, what we wouldn't have known. But basically, the question is this a good diuk or not a good diuk, right? Do you make a diuk? Right? Zeb asked a great question I was hoping someone would ask. Why did the Gemara say for Hananya it's lo yachzer tzanan? I understand for the Chachamim, it's l'shahal tzanan. You can't leave something on without a blech. Hananya, you can leave things on without a blech. You just can't do chazara without a blech. Why did the Gemara say, even for Hananya, you can't leave things on without a blech? Things that are a quarter cooked, you can't leave on without a blech. Things that are a sixth cooked, you can't leave on without a blech, right? Anything between 0 and 33 or 50%, you can't leave on without a blech. Why didn't they make that okimta in the Mishnah? So one possibility is that can't be the okimta in the Mishnah, because then it would be also even with a blech. The other possibility is they could have made the okimta in the Mishnah, they just decided to make the okimta in the Hafzer to teach us Chidushim. Nafkamina is, does a blech work if something is less than Machal ben Drusai? Right? That halacha l'maaseh shaila. I put up my cholent and it's a quarter cooked. Can I leave it on with a blech? Or is there no way I can leave it on? So Rabbi Akiva Eger here brings a big machlok shoshona. He brings a Rabbi Yonah who's machmir. He's the daik. He brings the Rashba who is mekel. And he tries to make diyukim in the mechaber. That go either way. He finds out that if he's too medayik, he finds one deek one way, one deek the other way. So obviously, he shouldn't be so medayik. Says the but the pashup shot is, if you look at what's the real sheet of the Mechaber, let's look at how the Mechaber quotes Hananya, right? Let's skip to Hananya. How can you find Hananya? If you have a Mishnah Brura, then it's by the Mishnah Brura Lamed Zayin. B.H. Omer, Shekulshin is Bashakal Machab and Dursai, whatever is cooked Machab and Dursai, Ocean is Bashakal Tsarkum and Sarkum, or it's fully cooked and getting better, Motulash also Gabi Kira. You're allowed to put it on the kira. Oh, I feel like I'm a taner or a taner. I feel the husubi after the eichlin, even if it has good fuel. I feel ain't a gufa ketuma, even without removing or covering the coals. The lohusgur gufa ketuma, the hasib hashub vava. And the Gemara didn't mention the heter of putting on a blech, gufa ketuma, or the heter of using inferior fuels. Elok shehizchel is vashav lo yil amachal bendersai. Unless it was cooked less than amachal bendersai, that's when you need a blech. Chayn le yim natal abdir me'alel, balas yir for chazara. What does he say? You know when you need a blech for chazara, or for less than Machu Mendersai. So, says the Mechaber, don't make the diuk. The Mechaber says, you know what? You know what the Mishnah means for Hananya? You know what the Mishnah means that you need a blech? It means you need a blech for Chazara, or you need a blech for Shehiyah if it's less than Machu Mendersai. Okay, why did the Gemara only mention the Hatzar and not less than Machu Mendersai? Okay, the Gemara only picked one thing, but it could have meant both things. Against the diuk of Rabbeinu Yona, says the Bir Halacha there, Ayach Nishu Riki Eger, Shechaz Zinza in a Bor of Yish, Poskim Shesobra, Filu Rufu Ketum Lo Mahani Bazeh. He points out, not all Poskim agree. The Bir Halacha says you should know that not all Poskim agree. But in the Mishnah Brura, he does not question the Mechaber, and the Minhag HaOlam is like the Mechaber, that even if it's less than Machu Mendersai, a blech still helps. Okay, so let's just review what we said. You know what? I'm going to need some help from Nathan. Let's just review what we just saw, this Bir Halacha, this long third Rabbi Akiva Eger in the Simon. If we're talking about the case of Chazara, Hananya, and the Chachamim, everyone agrees is Mutter with the Blech and Aser without a blech. That is no machlokas. What about Shehiyah between Machal ben Drusai and Shehiyah in a case of Machal ben Drusai or Kol Tzarko Umitzamik Fiyafilo? Here's where Hananya says Mutter even without a blech. And the Chachamim say Mutter with a blech and Aser without a blech. And that's why in the Mishnah, Hananya says the Mishnah is Chazara. That when you need a blech. And the Chachamim say the Mishnah is even Shehiyah. What about Shehiyah Pachos Mimacho Ben Grusai? So this is a machlokas, right? Rabbeinu Yona says Aser Legamre. The most Rishonim say Aser without a blech, but Mutter with a blech, and we assume there's no machlokas Tanan about that. And this is the question of Rabbi Akiva Eger. What are you medayik? Rabbi Yona's main raya is the diuk. After all, the Mishnah says you need a blech. They say Hananya, the Mishnah is lahachzir. Why didn't they say it's shehiyah pachzachal b'nusai? Must be, because that's also legamre. But most Rishonim deny the diuk. They said they could have said. That's what the Mechaber says. They could have said this. The Mishnah would apply bein to chazara, bein to shehiyah pachzachal b'nusai. Why did the Gemara pick the example of Chazara and not the example of Shehiyah Pachos Machal Ben Drusai? Okay, because they want to teach us certain Kiddushin. That's the big machlokas here. And even though the Bir Halacha sounds like there's room to be machra like Rabbi Yona, because Rabbi Akiva Eger says it's not so pashut, but the Minhag HaOlam like the Mechaber, to be making like room for Shonim, that really Hananya didn't have to say the Mishnah was talking about Chazara. He could have said the Mishnah was talking about Shehiyah less than Machal Ben Drusai. They just chose to pick Chazara. Okay. Now let's get to the question of how we paskin. Do we paskin like Hananya, or do we paskin like the Chachamim? This is a very, very large nafkamina, of course, right? If we paskin like Hananya, okay. In 1 second, let me just think of what order to do this. All right, I'll point out that I think it's in Rabbi Kiva Eger. No. Who quotes this? All right, Lo Mashana. There's a bit of a machlok as we've shown him also within the Shita of Hananya. between the Balamor and everyone else. Okay, this is based on how to understand a certain machlok of Ram Dafam Zayin, but within Hananya, there's an interesting question. What would Hananya say? Sorry. The Baal HaMor has a chiddush. The Baal HaMor is mechadish that afilu, even according to Hananya, if something is mevushal kamachal ben drusai, the eino mevushal kol tzarko, metzamik diyafalo aser. Okay, the Baal HaMor has a chiddush in Hananya. He says Hananya is mekel if it's fully cooked metzamik diyafalo, or he's mutter if it's cooked kamachal ben drusai and metzamik diyafalo. But if it's only kokamach ben drusai and it's metzamik diyafalo, by which he means, I believe, it's only half cooked, so it needs a lot of cooking. And even if it gets overcooked, it'll get better. So then you really have a temptation to soak the coals. After all, it's only half cooked. You want it to get fully cooked. And you're not worried about it getting too cooked, because the more cooked it gets, the better. Then even Hananya admits it's usher. The only time you use makel is if it's half cooked. But if it got overcooked, it would be bad. Or if it's fully cooked, then it would be better if it was overcooked. This is a chiddush of the Baal HaMor. Where does the Baal HaMor get this from? Because basically, if I can oversimplify a little, there's a big machlokes. I'm a run daf lamet zayin at mitzamik v'yafilo. And he says, well, if we hold like Hananya, then why are they arguing mitzamik v'yafilo? Must be even Hananya admits mitzamik v'yafilo makes a difference. However, all the other Rishonim look at Tosfos there say differently. All the other Rishonim says, nope. Lefi Hananya, kol shenisbashel kemachol ben drusai is mutter. Period. Vizehu.
Is the matzias of machol ben drusai that's stomach v'yafelo?
I think what you have to say is that what he means is that if it got fully cooked, it would then be stomach v'yafelo. I think what the Baal HaMor means is he's not so clear. Is that meaning if something only machol ben drusai, it's always stomach v'yafelo. It gets better till it gets cooked. So it means. And even afterwards, it would also mean time for yafalo, so you're not worried about overcooking it. You're not worried about burning it. Lamaisa, if you look at the Lashon Mechaber we just read, it's a little unclear. It says the Mechaber, as long as it's cooked kamach ben drusai, ocean is bashal called sarkum and time for yafalo, we're fully cooked and getting better. It's mutter lashoso al gabe al gabe kira. So, like, you might think to say, well, if it's fully cooked and it's samk v'yafalo, then it's mutter. If it's machal ben drusai and it's samk v'ralo, it's mutter. But he never said if it's machal ben drusai and it's samk v'yafalo, it's mutter. So you might think back like the Baal HaMor, but it's not true. Because then he says, the only time you need a blech is if it's less than machal ben drusai. Basically, why did the Mechaber say if it's Machal ben drusai or fully cooked in Samk v'yafalo? Because he thinks Machal ben drusai is always cooked in Samk v'yafalo. So it's always getting better until it's fully cooked. Okay, so we don't hold like this Baal HaMor. We hold like the other Rishonim. Now, let's get to the main point. The main point is, how do we paskin? Do we paskin like Hananya, or do we paskin like the Chachamim? So, anyone want to give me a summary? In two words?
Big Machlokes.
Shakdin v'Tanya.
All right, you can do better than that. Maybe not. Okay. Lemaisa, it is a big Machlokes shown in Rashi already, uncharacteristically. Rashi usually doesn't do this, but Rashi in his Pirush in Masechta Shabbos paskins. Okay, it's uncharacteristic, but you understand why Rashi does it here, because it's a real halachah l'maaseh inyan that comes up every Friday, so, you know, he feels like it's worth throwing it into what's normally just a pure Pirush, as opposed to most sugyas, where, okay, if you have a shyly endorse the rabbi, it's not the end of the world. But there are very few sugyas which are so nogeya l'maaseh and so unclear how we paskin. So Rashi here, Paskins, and Tosos, and Rabbeinu Hananel, and the Balamor, and the Rush, or of Haigo, and then the Rashva, and the, all the Rishoni Ashkenaz, without any exception, Paskin like Hananya, Rashi, Tosos, Rabbeinu Hananel, the Razar, Rav Zakkali, the Balamor, the Rashva.
What were the two or zero?
Rav Haigon, Ashkenaz. Well, Ashkenaz far, but I realize not really so true. And all the Rishoni Ashkenaz, Paskin like Hananya. So it's a few of the Rishoni Sfar and all the Rishoni Ashkenaz. However, big names, the Rif, the Rambam, the Ramban, the Rabbeinu Yonah, and also some Gaonim, like the Shiltos, and other Sephardic Rishonim, Paskin, like the Chacham. So it's mostly Ashkenaz and Sfar. Even though you have a few Sfarim on the side of the Ashkenazim here, all the Ashkenazim hold like Hananya, and also the Rashba, almost all the Sfardic Rishonim Paskin like Chacham. And we see, even the days of the Gaonim, this is a big machlokas, because Rav Haigon is quoted as Paskin like Hananya, and the Shiltos or Rav Haigon is quoted as Paskin like the Chacham. So this has been unclear for a long time.
Forgive me if I'm missing something, but why would we be paskin like a dat yachid against the
Hananya? So why would we paskin like Hananya? You're saying the halacha is yachid v'rabin. The rule is halacha k'rabin. So why should we pass like Hananya? Anyone know the two main reasons why we pass like Hananya? The Beis Yosef doesn't go through Repirte Pratim, all the rayas. The two main reasons I'll tell you is number one, Lamed Ches Amud Beis. No, sorry, I meant Lamed Zayin Amud Beis has two versions of Rav Yochanan. If you listen to the way I read, one version says, Amar Shesha Rav Yochanan, Kira, etc., Mishahin Aleha, but Lo Yachzer Etche Yigrof, Yigrof Shehiya, Yomi Neblech for Chazara. That's like Hananya. The other version of Rav Yochanan says, let me just find it. Amr Shulbar Yehuda, Amr Yochanan, Kira, etc. The other version of Yochanan, of Rabbi Yochanan says, yeah, Mashana left Havshish Abishav Kol Tzarko, etc. No, only Kol Tzarko, like the Chachamim. And then Rabbi Yochanan holds Kol Tzarko, even the Sanfi Yafalo, and but we follow Rabbi Shmuel to say only the Sanfi Yafalo. So there's two versions of Rabbi Yochanan. However, in the version of Rabbi Yochanan says like Hananya, you have Amar Rava Tarbayu Tanani L'shaus Tanina, since they're both found in Mishnayos in other places. The Mishnah says in the first parak that you can't put the bread unless it gets partially cooked before Shabbos, which shows that if partially cooked before Shabbos, she is mutter, like Hananya. So basically, Rava says there's a Mishnah elsewhere that proves like Hananya and proves that Lashon of Yochanan. So the main reason is A, because why should we always follow Rava? What's the rule?
Well, at least
for Zavaya,
we follow him, except for...
No, but Helchot Kabas Roy, the halacha is always like the latest generation. Rav is the later generation, and most of these sugyas are Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan, they're telling me them. So Rav says it's Mefurs the Mishnah Daf Yotes. So if the Stam Mishnah earlier and Rava. So that's why most, that's why the Ashkenazi poskim, paskin like Hananya. Okay, why did the Sephardim paskin like the Chacham? They say, no, Rava didn't really mean it there. He was just like elucidating what you might say if you hold that Shita, but he didn't really mean that was the right shot. Because Rav and Shmuel and Rav Yochanan all argue about whether Mitzdamek v'yafalo is mutter or usser, and they don't think like the Balamor that Mitzdamek v'yafalo is relevant to Hananya. So that shows that all the Amoraim held like the Chachamim. They argue that Mitzdamek v'yafalo is mutter or usser. So that shows you hold like the Chachamim. Okay, and then everyone obviously has to parry everyone's rayas and then parry that, etc., etc. Lamaisa, how do we paskin? Let's read the Mechaber again. If you're Sephardi, not just if you're Sephardi, right? We have okay, how many? We have not almost the Muslim of Sephardim. Right?
One. Two.
Okay, great. Excellent. Shnayim Sheyoshim Yish B'Neim Divrei Torah. So it's a, what?
Half.
Two and a half. Okay, we can round up. And say, Havlon Varech Le'malki Lo'kadisha. So if you're Sephardi, how should you paskin? If you're Sephardi, how should you paskin? Like the Chum or like Hananya? First of all, based on history, who would you think you should paskin like? Like what? The Chachamim, because that's almost all Sephardi we show. Right? And remember the rule of the Beis Yosef, Rambam, Rif, and Rush, 2 out of 3. And if you're the Mechaber, what did the Mechaber do? He started out by saying, Hira, etc., etc. Etc., etc. He started out singing the Chachamim. And then what did he do? Said, that it's a Kamachal ben Ishoy, it's Mutter. So what's the normal rule in the Machaber if he says Stam and then Yeshomrim? The normal rule is the Stam, right? It says Stam Chachamim and Yeshomrim like Hananya. So normally Sephardim should say we hold like the Stam, right? And we hold like the, which makes sense, because that's what all the Sephardim showed around. That's basically accepted. This is the Mechaber, Bistam, that's the Sephardim Paskin, like the Chachamim. However, if you're Ashkenazi, how might you expect a Paskin? Like Hananya. I mean, it's unanimous among the Ashkenazi Rishonim to Paskin like Hananya. Says the Rambah, I apologize for skipping around, but if you look at the second to last Rambah, what is the second to last? Someone read me the second to last Rambah in the Sif. Not in the Siman, in the Sif. The second to last Rama, it's only 4 words. See, everyone find the second to last Rama?
Vinahu lahatko svara from
the... Nenad Ashkenaz like the second svara, which makes perfect sense.
Yeah.
Right? Because that's all the... And it was always Makobol, the Dori Doros, that Sephardim held like the Chachamim, and Ashkenazim held like Hananya. In the 20th century... This became an issue. If you look in the Bir Halacha, Dibur Masel V'Nogu L'Hakol Kesvar Achrona, says the Bir Halacha, I am Beis Yosef Sheher V'Chayr Be'Be Ilu Shteh Adeos V'Hetik Dibur Arush. He quotes the Rush. Okay, the Rush is a pretty authoritative Ashkenazi. Shekosav, the Mivneshi, what did the Rush say? He brought the Ashkenazi, he brought the Sephardim. What did he write? Because the Yisrael are hold very tightly the mitzvah of Onik Shabbos. And they won't listen to us to tell them to be machmer like the first day. Okay, hanachlem. Therefore, you should leave them to follow their minig Ashkenaz. It's the doing from the Rosh that only because they wouldn't listen, he didn't want to object and help be machmir. He would have preferred to be machmir, but because the Jews wouldn't listen, because they love the mitzvah of owning Shabbos so much, and they wouldn't want to compromise their owning Shabbos, but they're so holy. Therefore, he said, okay, let's leave them with their minhag. The Beis Yosef goofy mashi had the dash rishon of the stomach, but they are shnei mashi mishol mashi gam dai to the lachmer. The Beis Yosef clearly, oh, that's obvious, meant to be machmer. He's smart. Ach we call machmer ima nukoch limchos mekilim. However, we can't object to those who are mekil shkar nogo amki yisha omer push because we're mach. The minig is like the yisha omer among Ashkenazim. Avel kein lefizel lechatchila bevadei tov lizahir says. However, this whole minig Ashkenaz, based on this line of the Rush says like. maybe we could have been machmir, but they won't listen, so just leave it. It says, therefore, l'chadchili should really try to be machmir like the Sfardim. Therefore, told that you should cook it before Shabbat. Now, what does it mean to be machmir? To be machmir means it should be cooked called sarko, but then it's still the samik v'yachalo. So how does that help? And then take it off the fire. Then don't leave it. Don't do shahiyah. Ah, in Irish and Zachar Dover, can you or can come skits a hang with Hutsu of a bashel is a top shell for him? Yokol Ham, all people of Bashel, Shus Bashel, Ski, Rak, Kazi, Bishop Sagi, and a Hino, and a paper, Shim, Rishulo, Michael Sagman of Lilo, and Omer Khan. Says, but if guests come at the last minute, Bishas and Chak, you can rely on Hananya and just make sure it's half cooked by the time Shabbos starts. In the Mishnah Berurah, he said, if you really stuck, even a third cooked. So the Bir Allah has a big Kiddush here. The Ramah says, when the Ramah says, Nagu, Lahakil, Kasar Achrona, when the Ramah says nagu, he doesn't usually mean bekvetch me. When the Ramah says nagu, for the Ramah, the word nagu is Moshe coming down from Har Sinai with the luchos, right? The Ramah nagu means this is the halach of Ashkenazim. That's how he passes halach. He says Ashkenazim are knowing this way, which for him and for any Ashkenazim of his era was the best stock you could have. Until this bir halacha, everyone thought Ashkenazim are makel, Sfarad are machmir v'zehu. Came the bir halacha and said a tremendous chiddush. Ashkenazim aren't really mekel. We're just mekel if you're stuck or like for the Amoratzim who won't listen. But the proper minhag for a ben Torah, if you're not stuck, is to be machmir like the Chachamim.
Do the other Rosh Hamazan or Rosh Hamazan, what are they saying?
So this is not common. The Chazan Ish.
I put that on the Makoros. Not, I didn't Xerox the text, but I just put the Maran Makom, right? That was Simen. Simon Lamed Zion, Sofsip Gimel,
says this Mishnah Berurah is totally wrong. He says, who ever heard of such a thing? You can't come 500 years later, after 500 years of Ashkenazic halacha, and say, we just mean for the Amoratzim, or if you're stuck, but really you should be machmer like the Chacham. He says, that's not proper halacha. And he says, even the Mishnah Berurah, didn't write this in the Mishnah Berurah, right? He didn't want to be so radical. In general, he had chidushim, he put in the bir halacha, yeah? He put the Mishnah Berurah. Right? So the Chazon Ish says, totally wrong. And he says, the Rosh just meant, I might have thought to have chumras and be machmir lift the Mishur Sadin, but since they won't listen, we'll just leave it like the din. And I won't have chumras lift the Mishur Sadin. But he says, the Rosh never meant that we should really be machmir. He was just discussing maybe to go lift the Mishur Sadin and why he decided not to go lift the Mishur Sadin. But the Chazon Ish disagrees with the Sbir Halach entirely. He says, that's not the proper psak halacha bichlal. So this is a big machlokes. And with this, we will have to end. Says the bir halacha, but it's proper to be machmir like the chachamim. Says the Chazon Ish. Nope. Halacha kechananya. Lechatchila. That's the halacha. That's our Reshet Ashkenaz. We don't have to. We don't have to question it. Okay. Ad hayom hazeh. There are different minhagim. It's interesting. The Mishnah Berurah did not suggest. The Mishnah Berurah did not suggest getting a blech. I don't know. Maybe it solved the problem. But ad hayom hazeh, there are those who follow this chumra of the bir halacha, and what do? They don't go as far as he said. They just said they get a blech. They put everything on a blech, even if it's fully cooked, because it's probably in the sign of the yuffalo. Therefore, they put everything on a blech to be yotzei the chachamim. And there are those who follow the original minagash nazo chananya, please. And as long as it's cooked machav and rusai, which it almost always is in our foods nowadays, there's no need for a blech whatsoever. So everyone should follow their own dominicus. Forget about blech. How about in the oven, for example? Right? Can you keep stuff in the oven when Shabbos starts? Right? So according to the Chachamim, no. If it's Mitzvah V'Yafalo, you can't. But according to Chananya, of course, it's a third cooked, and most of our food is much more than third cooked. You can. Halacha L'maisa, there are different minhagim, whether to follow the Chiddush of the Bir Halacha or the, in this case, it's strange, the Chazon Ish is just being the traditional Minhag Ashkenaz without Chidushim. And the Bir Halacha is making Chidushim against Minhag Ashkenaz, which is usually the opposite. And Lani is Dati, if you ask me my opinion, I would say, given what we started with from Rav Avadya, that it's not so clear the reason this whole Gzeira applies Bezmanazeh anyway. It's already a chiddush to apply the whole Gzeira Bezmanazeh that we have modern ovens and no one ever needs to turn them up in the middle because the coals are dying down and you don't have pokers that you need to constantly keep it going. Lani is daiti. If it's a chiddush to have the whole Gzeira in the first place nowadays, then it's enough to keep the Gzeira. I don't know if we need to add chumras in the Bir Halacha, and I would say we should follow the Chazan Ish, and as long as, for those of us who are Ashkenazim, of course, and as long as it's a third cooked, then you can leave Shehiyah, and you don't have to worry, you can leave it anywhere you want. Kach nira la nias daiti, that you don't have to be machmer extra chidushim chumras on a Gzeira that's not so clear why it should apply in the first place. Meaning, it's enough to be traditional. You don't have to add new chumras above the tradition of Ashkenaz, but everyone can follow their own minhag, and for Sfardim should for sure be machmer like Hananya, because by Sfardim it's not really a question.
Sometimes I know famously Stam is the halacha, and he sometimes.
I'm pretty sure in this case he passes like a chachamim, but we'll see next time that he has another chaf which he uses to be makel in a lot of contemporary situations.
At some point, I'd like to. Maybe it's something I have to think out, but I am curious to understand this whole issue of the Stam and the Yim, because.